Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Shir Maseches Megillah. On pace, Mirtz Hashem, to finish by Purim. We're in the home stretch of the last few daf. We're only in Chaf Zayin Amud Aleph at the bottom, and the second line up from the bottom. We were discussing last time about various halachos of being able to sell something of a certain amount of Kedusha, and then use those proceeds towards different items, lesser Kedusha, the same, more, etc. And the very last thing we left off of was somewhat related. I was talking about a little bit of a hilchos tzedakah. If a person came to a city that was not his own and he was asked to give tzedakah, he has to give it towards that city, even though there aren't the poor people of his city. That's the last thing we had said. Now the Gemara says like this: Rav Huna gozer tanisa. Rav Huna had to create a fast for whatever reason, probably in case of drought. All the gabe Rav Chana bar Chanilai. Rav Chana bar Chanilai, the whole bnei Masya and everybody of his place came to Rav Huna's area to join them in the tefillahs, whatever it be, for the reason they fasted. Ramo Laya Tzedakah, while they were there, Tzedakah was asked of them, B'yavu, and they gave, as the halacha we discussed before, that if a group of people come to the city, they initially give the Tzedakah, and then it is funded back to them when they leave to go to their poor people from where they came from. Kibon Lemese, so now these people, when they wanted to take it back, want to take the money to go give to their own poor people, Chanilai and all the people of the city, Amrule, they said to them, no svalon mar, you Rav Huna, master, should give us the money. So when they wanted to leave, they asked, give us the money back. Benezel and the finest ba'ani masyan, and we will go provide for the poor people of our city. Amarlu, Rav Huna said to them, Tanina, says in a Mishnah, B'medivarimurim, when is this true that the proceeds, the tzedakah, I should say, are given back to them to give to the people of their own city? B'she'ein sham chaver, when there is no Talmud Chacham there. Talmud Chacham that busies himself with taking care of the poor. Avayisham chaver, if there is a Talmud Chacham there, tinasim lechaver, it should be given to that Talmud Chacham to do what he wants with it. They explain over here that the reason that would be is because it's understood that everyone trusts that Talmud Chacham will do it as he sees fit, and that seems to be implicit that they gave their contributions to that person by just allowing him to do what he saw fit, and they're not expecting to give it back. Yeah, and then Rav Huna says, "V'kol shekein, all the more so over here in our case, da'ani edidi v'didchu alai samich. But my poor people and your poor people rely on me." Apparently, Rav Huna had a certain enterprise of tzedakah that even gave to other cities surrounding him. They're saying, "I get to keep the money in any event because I am also providing for the poor people of your city." Seder. Says the Mishnah, "Ein mochemes shal rabim liyachid. One cannot sell that which belongs to the public to an individual." Because that would be considered a demotion in its Kedusha. That's what Rebbe Meir says. Amr lo, they said to him, in Cain, Aflamir gadol lir katana. He can never sell anything from a large city to a small city. He can't sell a basic anesis that right now is serving 200 congregants to a city where it's only to serve 100. That would also be diminishing in its Kedusha. So Gemara says, Shapur kamile Rebbana Rebbe Meir. That was a good taina there, Rebbana Meir, Rebbe Meir. Rebbe Meir says, Meir gadol lir katana meikara Kedusha. From a large city to a small city has Kedusha to start and remains with Kedusha. Hashanami Kedusha. Now it also has Kedusha. Me'rabim le'yachim, if you go from a great number of people, 10 or more, to a yachid, to only one person, like a Kedusha, now it's not Kedusha anymore. You don't have a minion, you can't bring Shechina, etc. Rabbanin, ikal amecha ashkei agavna. Rabbanin say, if there is what to worry about that as diminishing, bring it down from 10, from a minion to less, ki agavna, like such a case, nami ikal amecha ashkei. If you worry about that, you would also worry about the idea of the Rov Am Hadras Melech, yeah? About the idea of anything with more people is considered more of a covenant to Hashem, right? But the majority of the people is a Hadar to the king. So that's what they say back. You also have to, if you're worried about that, you'd also have to not go down from a 200 congregant shul to 100, let's say. Therefore, they say, we don't worry about any of these things. Yeah. Says the Mishnah. Ain mochim beisakinesis ela al tanai. You can only sell a shul with a condition shim yutsu yachziru, that if they're wanted, they can give it back and take it back. Divrei Rebbe Meir. Rebbe Meir says that. Chachamim say no. Mochim osol mimkar olam. One should sell it. I'm going to translate this in a particular way. We'll see why in the Mishnah, in the Gemara, I should say. One has to sell it permanently. Yeah, not just the option, but I believe the correct shot is one has to sell it permanently. Chutz me arba devarim lemer. Except that you don't sell it to do any of these four things. If a person could sell it a complete sale and the recipient can do what they want, this is obvious with the people, the trustees of the city, like we discussed, but you can't do four things with it, and if it's going to be sold for these four things, then it can't be sold. Which is the merchatz, a bathhouse, or Luborski, a tannery where they tan hides of animals, very foul smelling. But tefillah for a mikvah, ula beis hamayim. A beis hamayim, Rashi brings two pshatim. Either it means for a launderer's place, or it means a place where people will go to the bathroom. Yeah, a bathroom. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, mochin osal l'shem chaser. Rabbi Yehuda says a way around this. Sell it as a courtyard, v'halokeach mashayirtha yasa. And the buyer, whatever he wants, he can do with it. Says the Gemara, Lo Yemeir Heichi Dairi Ba. Kare Yemeir, that you sell it, a temporary sale, and it's returned back. How can one live there? Probably doesn't mean literally living there. You don't live in a shul. But how can they conduct themselves there? How can they use the shul? Ha Havi La Ribis. It would be Ribis. Why would it be Ribis? We'll explain out. Because let's say there's a public, we'll just call them the city dwellers, that sell this shul, say Reuven City to Shimon City. Yeah, Reuven sells to Shimon. Yeah, and it's agreed upon that at any point Shimon can return the shul and Reuven will return the money. So in the meantime, if Shimon used the shul and then they returned that money, so what did he gain? He had a loan. He had given a loan. That's what comes out retroactively. And in the meantime, in reward for giving that loan, he was able to use the shul for free. That would be ribbis. Yeah. But again, the ribbis will be, if he ends up giving back that money, he will have gotten benefit from the fact that he loaned money. Yeah. Dam Rabbi Yochanan, Rei Meir b'shitas Rabbi Yehuda Abba. Rei Meir is going like the shita of Rabbi Yehuda and ribbis. The Amar Tzad Echad Ribbis Mutter, who says that one potentiality in ribbis is mutter. Meaning to say, as we just described, that it's only if they'll give the money back that will come out retroactively there was a loan and there was ribbis. If they never give the money back, they don't have to. They never give the money back. They never want to take back the shul, yeah, and give the money back, so there'll be no ribbis. It'll turn out to be a sale that happened the whole time and fair and square. And that's what this Bryce will now elaborate on. To Tanya. The Bryce says like this, Harei Shahai Nose V'Chavir Amana. A person had loaned his friend 100. Amana, 100 dinar. Ba'asalo Sodeu Mecher. And then, kind of in exchange for that, or make it Kiilu was a sale going on, he said, I'll sell you the fields, as it were, for that loan. That's still a loan. Yeah, but he's saying that if you don't give it back, so here's the field. You can take this field. Yeah. But he made it like a mecher. He made it like a sale. He will consider that a sale price if I don't give you back the money. Bizman Shah Mocher El Kopeiros, when the seller, who was the person who borrowed the money, yeah, gets to eat the fruits of the field in the meantime, mutter. That's mutter to do this setup. Because eating the fruits, he borrowed the money, he's eating the fruits, there's no interest. I mean, he's being lent money, and he's eating fruits of his own field. May belong to the other field, but there's no problem with that person being mochel the fruits, no issue. He's not the one gaining out of loaning, he borrowed them. But if the buyer of the field, so to speak, who was the one that lent the money, if he's going to eat the fruits in the meantime, usher. It's going to be usher, because why? Because when he returns the money, which is the initial plan, he will end up having eaten those fruits as an added benefit for having lent money. And that would be ribbis. But again, only if the loan will be given back as planned. If the loan's never given back, it'll turn out to be a sale, and there'll be no problem. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, afil lokeach ochel peiros mutter. And Rabbi Yehuda says, based on that even if the lokeach, the person who bought the field, which is one who lent the money, even if we're eating the fruits, it's mutter. Yeah. Why? Because as we said, it's only going to be ribbis on the one side that he'll give back the money that he borrowed. If he doesn't, it will be a sale. It'll be sold the whole time. And that person who bought it will have rightfully eaten the fruits the whole time. And that's mutter to do that. Rabbi Yehuda says the proof to himself. There was indeed a story with a person named Baitus ben Zonon, he did this exact thing. He made his field into a sale item in exchange for a loan. And he did it based on the teaching of Elazar ben Azariah. And it was exactly this case where the buyer, who was the one that lent the money, ate the fruits in the meantime. Amarlo, they said to Misham Raya, from over there, you have a proof. Mocher El Koperasai, you're mistaken about the pratim of the case. It was actually the seller, I the one who borrowed the money, that ate the fruits. Therefore, there's no proof. Yeah. Below Lokech, it wasn't the buyer. So, my Benayu, the Gemara says, what's in between them? Sad Echad Ribis Ike Benayu. The Machlokes is based on this idea that one potentiality being Ribis, in this case, that's what they disagree about. Mar Savar Tad Echad Ribis Mutter. One holds that Rabbi Yehuda, namely, that one side leading to ribbis potentially is mutter in such a case. And my sover tzad echad the ribbis aser. One says one side leading to ribbis is aser. That's the way to understand. That would be the machlokas. And therefore, Rabbi Meir and our Mishnah is going like Shitas Rabbi Yehuda. And that's why I said before that, according to that, if you didn't hold like Rabbi Yehuda about tzad echad the ribbis being mutter, And that's the only way Rebbe Meir can be justified, because otherwise it's ribbis. If you don't hold like that, you actually hold that it's a problem for the shul to be sold on Panay, that they can give it back. It has to be a permanent sale. Otherwise, there would be a ribbis potentiality, which we can't allow. Yeah, we can't allow even the potentiality for it to exist on one side of this deal. Yeah. Says the Gemara, continues. Rava Amar, no. Zekuli Alma Tzadach of Ribbis Aser. Everybody agrees in this Machlokas inherent in Ribbis and in the Mishnah that stems from it, that Sad Echav Ribbis is Aser. He can't do it, even if in one side they return the money, it'll end up Ribbis, he can't do that. Bahacha Ribbis Almanas L'Hachser, it's actually a totally different thing. It's Ribbis Almanas L'Hachser, meaning to say, it's understood in the Mishnah, yeah, that if they'll return the shul, they're not going to give back all the money. They're going to still pay Ki'ilu, they rented the shul. This is what seems to come out of Tosa over here. They rented the shul for that time. They won't get the use of the shul for free. They'll pay Ki'ilu, they rented it. Yeah? And so too in this case of we brought about Ribbis, about a person who loaned 100 to someone else and they put his field up as a collateral Ki'ilu, like a sale for it. Also, when he gives back the money, yeah, even if the lokeach is eating the fruits, he'll pay for those fruits. You're not going to get to eat it for free. It'll be ribbis amanas l'achzer, because I did get interest for loaning the money in the meantime, as it were, but here I'm going to pay back the value of those fruits I ate. I will get nothing out of, in the end of the day, nothing out of having lent the money. So that really is what ikimeneo, that's really what is in between the two opinions. Myself, ribbis amanas l'achzer mutter. The Yehuda holds that ribbis amanas l'achzer is mutter, meaning that he did eat the fruits. The buyer of the field, which is the lender of the money, ate the fruits, but he's going to give that money back, that value back, so that's okay. Well, Maya Sover, Aser, and the other sheet that holds, no, must he take the interest? It's inconsequential whether you give the money back. The first stage, he gained the interest. So this case of the field is Aser, and so too, according to this way of learning, Rav, I think you still have to read the Mishnah as being very precise. Rabbi Yehuda holds, you can only sell a shul, if you do this deal and give it back, and they will then pay Kilo, they rented it, so the ribbis almanas l'hachzer, so they'll give back the ribbis that was gained. Yeah, and then the tanak, the other shita holds, like Amo holds that no, that, sorry, Chachamim, right? Chachamim, that was Rei Meir, and Chachamim holds that no, you have to sell it a permanent sale, because if not, again, you will end up with ribbis almanas l'hachzer. Of course, again, if they don't give it back, but even if they give it back, you'll have a problem with ribbis almanas l'hachzer, so it has to be a permanent sale. I think that's what Cheshbon is out of the shul. So you have to read the Mishnah very precise, that they must sell it a permanent sale, according to Chacham. Today's the Gemara elaborating on that part in a different angle. But Chacham say, Mochin oso amim ka'olim, to sell it, a complete sale, v'chule, and then the rest of the Mishnah being referred to. Yeah, Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel, mutar la'odam lahashni mayim mesoch ta'al amashot tefillin. Yeah, so this is not about the sale a bit anymore. It's about, seemingly, the Mishnah mentioned the idea of not making a place that was a shul into a base of mayim. The person went to the bathroom in, according to the second Pshat and Rashi, so seemingly this is the only thing it's related to. Is that having, meaning that correlation between a shul and a bathroom, another halacha that relates to it. So Shmuel said, a person is allowed to urinate within four amos of tefillah. Not a shul, but a place that he davened. He davened somewhere, yeah, or he's going to, we'll see. He's allowed to urinate within four amos. Says the Gemara, Amar Rav Yosef, my Kamash Lan, what is he teaching us? Tanina. The Mishnah that says, Rabbi Huda Omer Mochen Osa, the Shim Chatzir, Velokech, Mashir Tzayasa. You can sell the place that was a shul, yeah, as a courtyard, and the buyer will do whatever he wants with it. Yeah, meaning, according to Rabbi Huda, you can even make it into a bathroom itself. Afilu Rabbanin Loka Amri Ala Basic Nessus to Kaviyak Dushasa, even Rabbanin that don't allow that, only say you can't make it in. You can't make a shul into a bathroom because it had a kviyas, it had a set amount of kedusha that was there. It was a building used as a shul. Avodat almost dalat almost, just the dalat almost that is away from a place that someone davened. Lo kviyas kedusha sayos, dalat almost don't have a set kedusha to them. Lo, they wouldn't say that. So everybody should agree that within dalat almost of even within dalat almost of a place where someone davened should be no problem at all. What then is the chiddush of Yehuda Amar Shmuel? So Tani Tam the Kamei of Nachman, yeah, the Gemara really ends up not justifying Shmuel's teaching. That it doesn't know what chiddush you get out of what he said. The Gemara moves on, but still related to this topic. Tani Tam the Kamei of Nachman, a Tana, which probably means an Amora who knew a lot of Bryces, taught in front of Rav Nachman, who was an Amora, Hamispal marchi dar Amos. One who is davening, this is himself for Amos, umashtin, and then goes to the bathroom. He ends his davening, yeah, he walks 4 Amos away, then goes to the bathroom. Bamashtin marchi dar Amos pal. One who just went to the bathroom has to move 4 Amos away and then daven. Amrle, they said to him, Bishlama hamashtin marchi dar Amos pal. I understand that why one who just went to the bathroom needs to distance himself 4 Amos and then daven. Tanina, the Mishnah says, Kami Archik Mehan, Uminatso. A Mishnah in Bracha says, how much does one have to be distanced from them, meaning urine or feces? Da'ad Amos, says Da'ad Amos. Then you go daven. Allah Mispal, Marchi Da'ad Amos, a Mashin, one who already davened, now he has to leave where he davened and then go Da'ad Amos away and then go to the bathroom. Lovely, what do you need that for? Iachi, Kedishtinu, Lukule Shavili, the Narda. If that's true, you have made holy all the alleyways in Narda. People were davening throughout the city everywhere. A minyan has likely been formed in every corner. There's a thriving Jewish population there, so you can't ever go to the bathroom anywhere over there. So where it says, Tani Yisha. Yeah, I mean, he said to him that you got the brisa wrong, so it should say that one has to wait the amount of time. It doesn't mean distance. One has to wait the amount of time after davening that it would take to walk Da'ad Amos and then go to the bathroom, or that amount of time after going to the bathroom and daven. So the Gemara still doesn't understand this. Bishlama Mashtin. I understand if one went to the bathroom, Yishe, then he should wait for Amos amount of time, the amount that it takes to walk for Amos, because of the drips of urine that may still come out or may be absorbed in his clothes, and without him realizing it, and they make it unfit for davening, at least to some degree, so he should wait and then start davening. Why does one already daven have to wait the amount of time it would take to walk Da'ad Amos then to go to the bathroom? What is that? Ravashi says, Shekol Da'ad Amos, because the whole amount of time it would take to walk Da'ad Amos, Tefila Sudur B'Fiv, his tefila is still being arranged in his mouth. Ruchusha Marashim Sivase, person's lips still move, still finishing his tefila without even really thinking about it. Therefore, one has to wait that after he davened to start going to the bathroom that amount of time, so he won't be doing them both at the same time. Says Gemara Zalfan Simon. Zalfan is going to be the Simon that stands for the next 4 cases. It's really going to stand for the next 4 people, Amarayim and Tanayim, who speak in the following cases. So, and we speak about them, really. So we say it like this. Zalfan Agav, Zalef means to drip water. Kind of relates to the previous thing, although the actual thing it's a Simon for won't really relate to that too much. Says the Gemara, Shalu Talmidav Es Rebbe Zakkai. The Talmidim asked Rebbe Zakkai, B'me'arach D'yamim. How did you have long life? In what schus did you get long life? Amalehem, Yomai lo hishtanti mayim besoch Da'ad Amos shetfila. My whole life I followed this halacha. I never urinated within 4 Amos of tefila. Now, if he's only saying the bare halacha of what everyone has to do, it wouldn't be a reason to get long life. Probably he means he wouldn't even do within 4 Amos of anywhere where you were really allowed to do 4 Amos distance. Really weren't allowed to. We said really you could. So Shmuel said that, and it wasn't a chiddush. But he said, I wouldn't even do that, though. Lo kinisi shem lechaverai. I didn't make a nickname for my friends, even nicknames that were not disgraceful, they say over here, Tosa says. Yeah, v'lo bitalti kiddush hayom. And I was never revatal the kiddush of Shabbos day. Yeah, that apparently is a very important thing. Tosa brings over here that there is a statement in Gemara Bava Metzia that one who makes a nickname for his friend doesn't have a chelek olam haba. He says that's only the type of nickname that has something not flattering about one's family. Yeah, over here, what he's saying, Ganam Olam Haba, would be a tiny nickname that would be okay. Even a kinui that is not disgraceful, he didn't do. And he was never revatel the kiddush of the day. It's apparently very important. And he says the story, Ima Zekeno Haisali, my mother was elderly. Pam Akas Macha Kippa Shavirosha, she one time, I didn't have money for wine, she sold the veil that was on her head, Ve'evili Kiddush, and brought me Kiddush Hayom, brought me Kiddush for that day. Apparently he's showing that he was so careful about it, his mother understood his Hakpada and went to great lengths to make sure that he had Kiddush. Tana, Kisha, the Bryce says, Kisha Mesa, when this woman died, his mother, Hanicha Lo Gimel Meos Garbi Yain, she left to him 300 barrels of wine, nice amount of wine. And he'd always have Kiddush, obviously. Kisha Mesu, when he died, Rabbi Zakkai, he left to his children 3,000 barrels of wine. So either this means showing you how it brought wealth, and it certainly is showing that, or it's also showing that there's makban on this thing in particular, and Hashem provided that they always had what they needed to be makban on Kiddush further. Yeah. This, by the way, is brought in Tosis over here, that it says in Gemara Shabbos explicitly, the one who is makbid, who is careful with Kiddush on the Shabbos day, is zoche that they fill barrels of wine for him. Yeah. Says Gemara, Rav Huna, hava osar iresa. Yeah. Rav Huna was wearing a belt. Yeah, he was girded in a type of grass belt. The kai kamei de Rav, he was standing in front of Rav. Amalei my haya said, what's this? Amalei lo havli kedusha, I didn't have wine for Kiddush. I borrowed money and made as a collateral for that money, for that loan, my belt. And then I was able to get wine for Kiddush. Hey, Rava, it should be Hashem's will that you should be covered, stuffed up with silk, with fine silk clothing. So Gemara goes on to tell a story how this actually happened. When Rava, his son, the son of Rav Huna, yeah, was getting married, Rav Huna inish gutzav. Rav Huna was a short man. Gana apurya, and he was sleeping on a bed. Perhaps it mentions that he's short to justify how the following part of the story could have happened. Otherwise, it's hard to understand why we're mentioning that he was short. It says, Asin banase v'kalase, his daughters and his daughters-in-law came. Shulchan, they disrobed. Vishadi and minayu, and they threw on top of him their gowns. They didn't totally undress. It means that they had some sort of garment on top that was made of silk. They took it off, and they threw it on top of him. Yeah. Aleha on top of him. Ad ito mishiyar, till he was indeed covered up, stuffed up with silk. So I was saying maybe he was mentioning he's short because they didn't see him there. Shama Rav, the Ikbid Rav, who gave him that bracha, heard about this story and he was angry, he was upset. Amar, he said, my time, Elo Amartli, Kibrachticha, V'chein Lamar. Why didn't you say to me when I gave you that bracha the phrase V'chein Lamar, and so too for the master? It's a way of saying like ditto in English, giving the bracha back to one who gave it to him. Why didn't you say that to him? I also could have been drenched in silk or fine clothing. Rashi explains because seemingly it was an Eis Ratzon, the bracha worked, and if it was an Eis Ratzon, the Rashi could also got a bracha out of it. Says Gemara, Shalot Tami Bevesra Belazer Ben Shemua. The Tami, the master of Lazer Ben Shemua, the Tana, they asked him, B'merach Yom, how did you have a long life? Amar Lehem, Yom Ailo Asisa Kapanji Lebes Akinesis, or Beis Amenish, could stand for either one. My whole life, I never made a shortcut out of a shul. And seemingly also means even in situations where it'd be mutter, for instance, like the shortcut was there and the shul was built around it. Yeah, he didn't even do that. Lo pasati al Rashi am kadosh. I didn't step on the heads of the holy nation. Rashi says it refers to that if you have Talmidim sitting on the floor and the Rebbe standing or sitting on a chair and giving cheer to them, if you would have to move by them for whatever reason, it would look to someone watching from far away that he's like stepping on their head. See, enough cover for them that he wouldn't even make it look like he was doing such a thing. I never did Birkas Kohanim. He was a Kohen. I never did Birkas Kohanim without saying that first bracha. Yeah. What's interesting about that is why should the bracha before the mitzvah be anything that it gives a person long life? So meaning just doing what the halacha is. What's special about that? So they actually bring, believe it or not, in the name of the Ritva and the Maharsha and the Meiri. Yeah, that this isn't anything extraordinary, but it could be this is a schus for any Kohanim, for all Kohanim to get long life. And he's just saying, he was telling us the secret, you make that bracha, you get long life, for whatever reason. We need an explanation why that would be. Yeah. So he says, I also never did that without a bracha. Okay, we'll stop here at the last line with the next story again about people who had long life. Thanks for listening, and we'll continue next.